Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're continuing in the life of Moses here. We saw in chapter 2, in the life of Moses, a picture of what happens when we try to serve God or do something, even with good intentions, but we do it in the power of the flesh. We fail. And Moses tried to deliver his people, or at least take a step in that direction, assuming that people would understand that God wanted to deliver them by his hand. Well, he failed miserably. He ends up fleeing into Midian. In chapter 3, we find something very specific. God has dealt with Moses for 40 years at this point. And in chapter 3, we see God showing his presence, making his presence known, and giving Moses a commission, a call, a divine call for his life at this point. And so follow along as we read chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Most of you are familiar with this account here. And there's not necessarily new principles or new doctrine, but I appreciate the Word of God so very much because you can understand or know stories and you can understand and know doctrine, but you can always have relevant application of truth from the very same passage of Scripture, and it should not get old to the child of God. Amen. Our text tells us here this morning or this afternoon that, well, at least contextually here, at this point, the Pharaoh who wanted to kill Moses has died. And the Bible tells us that the bondage and the labor of the Hebrew people had increased. And the Bible says that they sighed by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groanings. God had pity on them. You go back to chapter 2 and verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So that's how chapter 2 closes out. We get into chapter 3, and the scene shifts from the nation of Israel, God hearing their cry, and the scene shifts to the life of Moses again. Now understand and remember that Moses had fled from Egypt to the land of Midian, but it has been 40 years since that happened. Moses is pretty disconnected from what's happening back in Egypt and the people of Israel. And he's been in Egypt for 40 years, so he left Egypt when he was 40. It's now been 40 years. Moses is 80 years old, and that's the time that God called him to a special work. And that's what I'd like for us to consider this afternoon, the call of Moses. Moses was 80 years old, but he wasn't too old to be used by God. In fact, Moses was actually more prepared and better equipped to be used of God now than he was 40 years earlier when he left Egypt. God had to do some things in his life. He had to take him into the wilderness. He had to be molded and prepared, but he was preparing him for what he was going to call him to do. And there's a good application there, because in our life, sometimes it takes a long, long time. Sometimes we've got to be in the desert, if you will, to dry up that self-life, to dry up even the sinful self that is within us, in order to make us empty, in order to bring us to a place where we are an empty vessel that can actually be used of God. We read about it, we studied on it, that Moses had attempted to save his brethren before, but he failed. And why did he fail? Because what he did in his own wisdom. He did in his own power. Full of zeal, no doubt. With good intentions, no doubt. But lacking the most important thing, the power of God. Hold your place and just look back in, or look over in Acts chapter 7. We've been here a few times in our study in the life of Moses. In Acts 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him. And what we remember is that he ended up killing this Egyptian taskmaster. Verse 25, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And again, we talk about how Moses tried to do something, but he did it in his own wisdom. He did it in his own power. He was lacking what was the most important thing, and that was the commission of God and the power of God. And so now we come to a point 40 years later where God is actually going to make a specific call in Moses' life. And I want to bring out some things and some applications for us who call ourselves servants of God and who say we have a desire to serve the Lord. Well, there's some principles in this passage that can be helpful for us today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless it. Lord, we thank you again for your word. We do pray that you'd use it. Lord, I pray that you'd give us focused minds this afternoon. It won't be very long, but Lord, I pray that we would be very intentional about receiving from you, engaging with the truth of God's word. Lord, what do you have for me? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go back to our text, Exodus chapter 3. The first thing we're going to look at here is in verse 2. And what we find is a startling manifestation. In verse 2, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." The Bible tells us that God appeared to Moses. God revealed himself in a flame of fire. That flame of fire was a symbol of the presence of God. This is the key part here. The presence of God, which is what was needed in the life of Moses. In the Bible, we find that one of the things that fire represents is purity. And in the presence of God, there most certainly is purity. In verse 5, the Bible tells us that God said unto him, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." In the presence of God is holy ground. The presence of God was something that Moses actually needed. And here's the application. It's very simple. In order to serve the Lord, the presence of God is absolutely necessary in the life of a child of God. But here's the thing. The presence of God isn't just something that we can add Presence of God isn't something that we're going to draw near to and life is going to stay the same. The presence of God is going to make some demands. The presence of God is going to have an effect. The presence of God in the soul is going to have an effect that devours the uncleanness of our flesh. Fire represents purity. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13, you can turn over there. 1 Peter 1, in verse 13, I'll just start reading it if you're not there. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, what we find here is there's some demands that the Scriptures make on us, that God even makes in our life, to be sober, he says, to hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Christ. As obedient children unto the Lord, there needs to be a difference in your life. Don't fashion yourself after the former lusts according to your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God wants our life to change, to be more like him. A purifying effect that the presence of God will have in a life. And here's the point. The would-be servant of God has got to feel the purifying fire of the presence of God in order to make him fit for service. You know, we can serve and we can do things, but that's not what God is actually looking for. What he's looking for is holiness. What he's looking for is a life that is yielded to him, that's willing to be changed by him to make us what he wants us to be so that we can serve him. You know, sometimes the Lord starts tightening down the screws in life and putting the pressure on, turning up the heat in the fire in order to get the dross to be moved to the surface so it can be removed to purify. It's not about just doing things. It's not about just going about serving. It's about God's presence in our life. And we ought to seek more to draw close to the Lord than to do things for the Lord. Sometimes that's through fiery trials. In Romans chapter 5, it'll help you stay awake. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul says we glory in tribulations, and here's the reason why. Because these tribulations in my life are working something spiritual in me. I don't like the fire. I don't like the pressure. Sometimes I don't respond rightly to it, but if my mind is straight and I desire to be in the presence of God, I can understand that God is going to turn the heat up in my life, and I'm going to feel the pressure, and the screws are going to be tightened down because God's trying to purify me because he wants to equip me to better serve him. Sometimes it's not just fiery trials. We go through trials, but sometimes God also does that through chastening, that purifying effect. Hebrews 12 tells us that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Yeah, I love to get a whipping. It doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous. It hurts, but it's my own fault. But the end is not just arbitrary punishment. He says, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in my life, which purifies me and makes me a vessel that God can actually use. We can't please the Lord and serve the Lord with a life that is unsurrendered, unyielded, and full of iniquity. God wants to purify. And so God appears, reveals himself to Moses in this burning bush. God is trying to show, get Moses' attention. He's going to show him something. But I want you to go back to our text, because we look in verse 3 and we see a timely resolution. Note Moses' response in verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Notice Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this. Think about this. God is not forcing Moses to do anything. The bush is burning. It's not consumed. It gets his attention, but God's not calling Moses yet. He's not forcing him to do anything. Moses has to make a choice, and the Bible says that Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this. The turning aside was a needed thing. Think of what would have been different, or what he would have missed if he decided to just keep on walking when God was beginning to call. But here's the point. To meet with God, to be taught of him, we often have to turn aside ourselves from the path that we are currently on in order to be in the presence of the Lord. God doesn't want us to stay the same. Stay on the same path. What are things that we might need to turn aside from? Maybe it's a carnal mind. Maybe it's the control of the flesh. Listen, it goes beyond that. It's not just those things. Sometimes even there's a choice that needs to be made to turn aside from something that isn't inherently wrong or bad. But God wants us to make a choice that is toward Him. And maybe it's even a decision to turn aside from a lawful occupation in order to serve God more fully. I remember years ago, working construction, trying to make a living, and I was working for a construction company, and then at some point I decided I was going to go on my own, and I had my own construction company. But I remember a sense of discontent in my life. I remember or even coming to the point where I could choose to just do this for the rest of my life, I probably would be fine and make a living. Or is there something more that I know God is doing in my life or calling me to? And I remember distinctly coming to a crossroads, a point in my life where I had to be honest with myself and I had to be honest with the Lord. And I was working a job. I had a business. It was a lawful occupation. But I had to come to the point where I had to decide, am I going to just follow this path, or am I actually going to yield everything to God and serve Him? It wasn't anything wrong. It wasn't anything wrong in my life. It was just a decision that needed to be made to get serious about following after the Lord, to turn aside, to walk away from something that He was even lawful, because God had something more that He wanted of my life. Moses needed to make the choice. And we know that the turning aside the Bible talks about here was with purpose. Moses said, I will turn aside to see this thing. And he made this conscious choice to go in a different direction. Maybe Moses stood there for a while, wondering, should I go near this? Should I do that? Maybe he was even a little timid or afraid, but he made up his mind, I'm going to turn aside and see this. Well, here's the application. Leaving things of this world, maybe it's something of the flesh. Maybe it's a lawful occupation, but leaving the things of this world to seek after things of righteousness always is a conscious choice that you and I have to make. You have to choose to follow Christ. You have to choose to yield your life to the Lord. You have to choose to seek after righteousness. You have to choose, I want to be in God's presence. But when we do, the Lord acts in kind. The Lord responds in kind. If you'll notice in verse 4, the Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Do you notice here that as soon as God saw that Moses made the choice, that is when God spoke to him? Moses wasn't walking along and he heard the voice, Moses, Moses, and he turns over and sees the burning bush. No, God wasn't forcing him to do anything. He got his attention, and when he chose to go, that's when God began to speak to him. It was Moses' decision, but as soon as God saw it, the Bible says, that's when he called unto him. And let me make this application. The voice of God is soon heard in the soul of the person who chooses to turn aside from the ways of the flesh, the carnal mind, and begin to seek after God with the whole heart. God's not going to hide himself. God's not going to keep himself hidden from you. What his will is, what he's looking for, is a heart that is willing to turn to him. God sees every turn that we make, whether it's to him or from him, and then he acts accordingly. God doesn't hide and will not hide himself from those who are truly seeking after him with the whole heart. Maybe you're a person who God is dealing with you in some fashion in your life, maybe some area of service, maybe it's something else. I don't know what it is, but God, what God's looking for is your heart that it's turning to him and says, Lord, I want to know what you're saying to me. I want to know what your will is. God's presence was immediately manifested to Moses, and it will be for us too, because God's not going to hide himself. So what happened when Moses turned aside, when God saw that he did, and God calls unto him? Well, verse 5 says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. What happened when Moses turned aside? What he found was God revealing himself more. What kind of a God he was. Moses came into God's presence, and in coming into God's presence, he received a revelation of the kind of God that he was. He's a God of love and mercy. He's a God of holiness. He said that in verse 5. In verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. The Bible tells us that God heard the groanings and the sorrows of his people. He had compassion on them. You know, God didn't have to. He didn't have to have compassion. God didn't owe them anything. But because he's a God of love and mercy, God had compassion on them to deliver them. That's the kind of God that he is. God didn't have to send his only begotten Son into this world. Jesus Christ didn't have to leave heaven's glory and humble himself to save your soul or mine. He did that because he's a God of love and mercy. But God also revealed that he has a purpose and a plan. In verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites, and so on. God said, I am come down to deliver God came down in the burning bush to save his people through his servant Moses. God came to this earth in Jesus Christ to save through the gospel of Christ. But I'm saying that because to ask this question, why was it important? Why was this revelation of God to Moses important? Why did Moses have to understand this? It was so that he could see through the eyes of God. It's so that he could see, have a different vision of the way that he was looking, the way that he was thinking. So he could see things the way that God sees them, because that was important, because the very next thing that we read is God telling Moses what he wanted him to do. Look at verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The point was, God was showing something to Moses to get him to see through a different set of eyes, because that was so critical for what he was about to have him to do. God revealed himself. He revealed his power. He revealed his holiness. And for what purpose? It was because Moses had a job to do. When was Moses going to do this job? It was now. He said, come now, therefore, in verse 10, and I will send thee. Now that you have seen that you will fail in your flesh, we noted that in chapter 2. Now that you have seen my presence, now that you have been tested and tried these past 40 years, and you've been purified, now that I've revealed myself to you, and now that you know the desire of my heart concerning these people, now that you see things the way that I see them, I want you to go. And what was the purpose? To bring forth my people. They're in bondage. They're in misery. I want you to declare my will and my word unto them. And I am sending you. That means that you have my authority, the authority of the Almighty God, to do this work. Do you know where we're going with that? Let me just say to you this afternoon, Christian, we have the exact same commission. The same commission of God upon each and every one of us who are saved, baptized members of Black Road Baptist Church. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, I'll just read it to you. You probably know the verse. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are people in your life who are in bondage, who are in misery, who are captive to their sin. There's also people who are crying out for deliverance. God has revealed what his will is concerning people in this world. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has given a complete and full revelation of his character and of himself through Jesus Christ and his holy word. God has given his authority. Jesus said to his disciples, but institutionally to his church, all power, authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. We have the authority and the power of God himself through this local New Testament church. We have a commission. Not to do in the power of the flesh, but to rely on the power of God. We have the known will of God. We say we want to serve God, doing His will. But let me say to you, that's going to require maybe a turning aside first. Some things that we need to turn away from. Whether it's a life in the flesh, whether it's the demands of a secular life that pull us in a direction that's different than the will of God. Maybe there's a fight going on in somebody's own soul to walk away from even something that's good in order to serve God more fully. It's going to require a turning aside. It's going to secondly require getting into the presence of God. He wants to purify your soul, your life, to change you and change me and make us holy. But then it's going to require letting Him equip us then for that purpose. And the question is, where are you? Are you living your life? Maybe God's trying to get your attention. And He wants you to turn aside to see. What is it that He's saying? Maybe you're older. I've served God a long time. Moses was 80 years old. But he wasn't too old for God to give him a commission and a specific call. God equipped him. He was better able to serve God now in this capacity than he was before. Where are you? The call of God on Moses' life was very specific, and we'll read later on some of the excuses that Moses offered up to the Lord that God brushed aside, said, no, that's not going to work, Moses. That one's not going to work either. I've got it all. What God wanted was Moses to finally just say, okay, and yield and move in the power of God. You and I have a responsibility and a call. There are people in your life that need the Lord. There are people in your life who are crying out for deliverance. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Are you willing to open up your mouth, to speak, to be used of God? That's God's will. We have authority, we have power, we have ability given to us from God. Now we just need to yield. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word and this example. Pray that we would look inward today. Maybe there's particular people, someone I'm afraid to witness to, or I've been convicted about it before, and I just keep brushing it aside. Maybe there's somebody I need to write a letter to, family members. And we want to beat around the bush. We want to soften it. Maybe we just need to ask the Lord to help us be bold, and here goes. And be blunt, and be straightforward. Father, we need your help. We say we want to serve you, but many times we want to just stay the same. And we need to be willing to turn aside from some things. We need to get into the presence of God, and it's going to purify some things in my life. That fire is going to be hot, but it's going to bring the dross to the surface. Going to get those imperfections out and make us vessels that are fit to truly serve you. That's what you did in the life of Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. After failing and trying on his own, Moses had come to a place where he was now ready to be used of God. Lord, however you might see fit to work in hearts, I pray that you would today, and I pray that there would be a tender response to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just keep